Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. It's a holiday miracle. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Season 9 trailer has dropped.
I'm screaming.
We've all been waiting with bated breath for this moment, and Eric and I are now going to watch it for the first time.
Oh, I'm so excited. Here we go.
This season on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, someone is hell-bent on getting this Dorit story out there. They're all trying to make me feel like I'm a terrible person.
Do not call my swan a
Can we get some more Rolexes on the rocks, no salt?
Yeah. Oh, no.
A hot air balloon will be picking you up at noon.
This really make you feel like you're in Europe.
We are in Europe, Doreen.
Aloha.
This is it. It's official.
Right, Denise Richards.
My visuals of you and Aaron having sex are like right up there with my favorite porn.
It is my honor in declaring you husband and wife.
I don't know why she's doing it so quickly.
Shotgun wedding.
Keep your friends close, your enemies closer.
Hello, kitty cat.
Cheers, bitch.
Hey, girl, I'm wearing a wig tonight.
It's Halloween. Cut me some slack, Jack.
Cap the puss, honey.
You look a little bit like Snooki right now.
She's basically calling me her dog.
You've been on this journey with me through the highs and lows.
He's gone. I can't believe he's even gone.
I'm homeless.
She doesn't want to sit and pretend to be nice to someone who has her over.
He's going to be a judge on our court for the rest of his life. And I know what it feels like to be wrongfully accused.
Somebody was guilty by omission.
I'm sure it was very annoying that I made a good point.
That is a lie.
It's not a f***ing lie, Kim.
Okay. I'm done.
I kind of feel like the two of you are in cahoots.
You're a f***ing liar. Goodbye, Kyle.
You're a little snake.
Let's figure out who the mean girl really is.
I love you.
How can you say you love me?
Well, I actually don't.
I'm not responsible for Lisa Vanderpump's actions.
That's not friendship. That's bullshit.
I'm not going to say what a f***ing bitch she was. Ah! Just said it.
I don't even know where to begin.
I have full body chills.
Graphics, graphics, graphics. That was like my first thought. Like you see the tabloid covers and then it's like a season of betrayal. Like,
lies.
Yes.
Oh my God. I mean, it gave us so much because I feel like we're finally going to get some of the answers that we've wanted for so long. And that trailer just showed it. But the first thing I want to talk about is the receipts that Lisa holds up.
Right. Okay. Because We watched it twice, and then I said, we need to go back and pause on this printout of text. Okay, it's with Teddy Mellencamp.
Yes.
So it's a conversation between Lisa Vanderpump and Teddy Mellencamp. Read what it says.
So Lisa says, you need to call me today. Teddy, everything okay? Whenever you're free, girl, you're going to die. I love the idea of Lisa saying, girl.
How do you know it's her and not the other way around?
Because the blue text messages
are
Lisa. So Teddy says, calling now. Lisa says, I just can't text. I just can't. Then it says, I am in total shock. That is insane. I feel sad for her kids and that poor dog. I know, in all capitals. Teddy says, narcissistic behavior at its finest. I wonder if these are not actually Lisa's text messages, but texts
between like someone else.
Screenshots that Lisa sent, because I don't feel like Lisa would say girl.
Girl.
And then I can't in all capital letters.
Yeah, that's not Lisa.
And I know in all capitals, that's not like
Lisa. If anything,
Lisa.
The other way around. Like I could see her using the phrase narcissistic behavior,
right.
Maybe.
But it says that the contact person at the top is Teddy. So it's someone texting Teddy and then sending Lisa the receipts.
Okay. See, what I love about this trailer is it gives us everything and yet nothing. I have no idea what this fight is about. I don't know why Lisa Vanderpump is potentially at odds with everyone.
Right.
I can surmise from, you know, social media and whatnot, but I'd rather get the answers.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we'll get them. It's going to be a little while, but we'll definitely get the answers February 12th. The other thing I want to talk about is, on the lighter note a little bit, we get a lot of alums back.
Okay. I think I secreted Brandy Glanville coming back. She is forever and always one of my favorite housewives. And to see her back, hi, kitty cat. Oh, my God.
She's going to shake things up for sure.
Yes.
I'm so glad we have Kim back. I have a special place in my heart for Kim. I'm wearing a shirt with turtles on it today.
I love turtles.
I love turtles. And then, of course, Camille, which we're going to get a lot with her between the wedding. And then I didn't even know we were going to see her losing her home.
That is, oh, so sad.
That's going to be really hard to watch.
Weird seeing Lisa Rinna and Camille getting in what's possibly a political feud.
Absolutely. I mean, it was definitely a Judge Kavanaugh reference. Like, that's exactly what they're talking about. Lisa's fired up. Camille's making it about herself somehow. I mean, that's going to be a really interesting thing to see, because we kind of got a little bit of that, you know, on New York when the whole election was happening.
Right.
That's really when there were a lot of conversations about politics happening and where people stand. So that's going to be a really interesting dinner party to see how that plays out.
What do you think about Denise Richards?
I am so excited about Denise Richards. Like, I can't even explain it. And we also just all made the connection that she and Kyle have the same last name but are not related.
Right. Like, we say their names so much, we forget they have the same last name.
Like, 45 minutes ago, we came to that discovery.
So funny.
But yeah, I'm super excited about her coming. I mean, I know we're going to get her wedding. Obviously, that's in the trailer, and we knew that was going to be there. But I'm excited to see. I mean, she's the one meeting with Brandy, so I'm excited to see who she kind of aligns with, who she gets along with, who she fights with is what I'm way more interested in seeing.
Right.
But I'm so happy.
And all those little cutaways, and you're like, wait, who's mad at who?
Right, right. I mean, there's definitely no shortage of drama this season.
Oh, I can't wait.
The other thing, too, is Ken yelling at Kyle.
Oh, my God. Angry Ken Todd. You know, he flares up every once in a while.
Yeah.
And he's been mad at Kyle before. I've never seen that.
That was aggressive.
Aggressive.
And that, I mean, to bring him to that point, there has to be something that Kyle did that is just not
well,
okay.
Maybe. My God, we can't jump to conclusions.
You're right. Sorry, Kyle.
Yeah, this season looks bananas.
Absolutely bananas. I do love the little, like, throwaway where Dorit's like, doesn't it remind you of Europe? And Erica's like, we're in Europe, Dorit. Like, I think they're always going to have a little bit of that. They're never going to be 100, which I'm totally fine with.
Right.
And I just can't wait to have Erica back in my life.
Oh, you need it, because we have to bring back the most Erica Jane moment of the week.
Absolutely. I think the most Erica Jane moment of the week might end up going to Lisa Rinna again, because she dresses up like Erica for Halloween.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That was really good.
Okay, well, February 12th is when the season premieres, so.
I'm marking my calendar.
Yes.
Woo.
Eric, how do we even top this trailer now? What are we supposed to talk about?
I mean, luckily we do have Vanderpump and Real Housewives of Atlanta to talk about now, so we might as well get into that.
It's been 10 years since Bernie Madoff shocked the world with his $65 billion scam. I'm Scott Cohn.
I'm Chuck Schaefer. The story's not over yet.
In a special CNBC podcast series, we're going behind bars, including my conversation with Madoff himself.
We catch up with investigators and Madoff victims.
And we ask, can it happen again?
Subscribe today to the American Greed podcast.
We have a great episode. It's the holidays, and we didn't want to leave you guys hanging, so we actually put together, I think, one of the best episodes ever. But because, Eric, we're here a little early today to record ahead of time, I wanted to prepare a treat.
Okay.
I know you were looking at it. You weren't sure.
Yeah.
It is, in fact, Porsche's fake Hennessy concocted with Coca-Cola and apple juice.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Just to get the sugar rush.
Right.
And plus,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, it's got a smell.
That smells sweet.
Oh.
Ooh, not bad.
It's not bad. It just tastes like fizzy apple juice.
I was going to say, I'm hoping this is actually Hennessy, but you know what? I'm okay with this.
Ooh.
A little sugar rush in the morning. So we have a great show. We're talking Real Housewives of Atlanta, obviously, hence the fake Hennessy. Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
And we also have some favorite moments of the year from our favorite Bravo Labs.
Yes. They kind of gave their biggest, best Bravo moments, and we also are going to play you some of our favorite interviews from this year, including Catherine Dennis and Lisa Vanderpump.
Ooh, I love me some Catherine.
Okay, so should we start with Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Yes, absolutely. So this episode was pretty fun. I mean, we kind of get a lot of Portia hiding her pregnancy, hence the Hennessy that we were drinking earlier, fake Hennessy. And it's really fun to see her kind of just being a little like cheeky, and like that whole mixing of the apple juice and Coca-Cola was really funny. She's like eating a pickle, like she's full pregnant mode right now.
Right.
So that was a lot of fun. But I really loved the little like talent show segment that they did.
I sing because I'm free.
Do you agree with everyone who they selected as the winners?
Oh, I didn't expect to be put on the spot like that. I think so. I have to say, I think I'm with Candy a little bit, where I'm like, this is vacation. We have to work.
Right. It's very true. It's very true. I mean, it is a little funny because I feel like since they are all, you know, in similar industries and have similar interests, it is kind of funny to put them against each other.
I never really even thought about how it's two and two, but it was like Noah's Ark.
Right. Noah's Ark. It's true. And so I did feel a little bit weird, you know, just given what had happened earlier in the season with Shamari's husband kind of giving Candy those notes about their performance, and then for everyone to put the two of them against each other was a little bit like, oh, this is a little shady.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of felt bad for Shamari in this episode just because they keep ragging on her about the style thing. And like, by the way, I don't really care what my friends dress like. Am I alone in that?
I think you're not alone in that, but I do understand like some of her looks, and I love Shamari, and I do think she won the sing-off. But some of her looks, and I think someone points it out earlier in the season, they're a little bit stuck in like the early 2000s.
Early aughts,
which, you know what? A great time. Not a great period for fashion for me personally, I will say. But I think, you know, it's sort of like, it's part of her brand. You know, I feel like some people like Marlo or even Tanya, like they take fashion, they like high fashion. That's their thing. But with someone like Shamari, who she's a musician, she's a little bit more of a creative type, like she's going to have a little bit more fun, I think, with her clothes.
Mm-mm.
And I think that's okay.
What did you think of Candy Shade that was like, I don't really care who's better, I care who made more money doing it.
You know, I mean, you can't argue with that.
It's true.
You really can't argue with that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not like, Candy makes her money from a lot of different ways. It's not just the music. So Shamari, you know, she's done okay for herself.
Right.
Do you think that Tanya really showed up Marlo with that presentation?
I loved the presentation. I feel like Tanya's been a little quiet. I didn't really get her full personality, but she pulled out all the stops.
I mean, that was like a drag race presentation, if I've ever seen one. Like, it was like outfit change, like switching it up. Like, she absolutely like brought it, because when she first showed up, I was like, I don't know. I was like, Marlo really worked that look and like worked that little runway. But then Tanya was full of surprises.
She was day to night Barbie.
And I do have to say, Cynthia won, hands down.
I mean, they're both beautiful. But I think even on America's Next Top Model, like, it was kind of a known thing that for Eva to win, it really was on her face and like the commercial beauty aspect of the industry, because she's you know, she's shorter
right.
than most models. So I think Cynthia gave a great walk off.
Cheekbones. Okay, so going back to the idea of like fashion and then trying to help someone with the way that they dress, I think that's what kind of triggered the whole issue between Marlo and Shamari, and that sort of like explosion at dinner.
Those smirk little comments.
I'm gonna say what the hell I want. I'm in America, okay, and I'm not calling out your name. That's what you're gonna do, is be
okay,
a lady.
Okay, but you're gonna have respect for me as well.
Okay, well, don't call me a B-I-T-C-H anymore either, okay?
Okay, you're not a bitch.
I know, you are.
Right, whatever, bitch.
Like, do you feel like Marlo overstepped by trying to like go into Shamari's room and be like, here, let me help you get dressed today. Like, let me pick out some clothes for you. Like, do you think that was too far and insulting and that's what upset Shamari?
Come on, come on. This is sexy evening. I love the black. You can throw on a leather jacket with it.
I don't know about that jacket.
This is fashion. You're not trying to do what's safe. Just do, put it on real quick.
I don't feel like trying that. Oh, my God. Life.
All right, well, don't do it, but just take notes.
Yes, I would be totally insulted. And, like, also, I didn't ask for your opinion.
Right.
Also, love Marlo. But is she known as a stylist? I'm not sure that she's the Rachel Zoe of Atlanta.
I think that's fair to say. I mean, the thing is, Marlo wears many hats, I believe, in her life. And I think that, you know, kind of going back to, she has her very specific sense of fashion and it comes down to the label that's on her clothes. So I understand trying to, like, help a sister out and being like, let me see, like, let me. But, you know, Shamari already is established and she kind of, like, reminded Marlo of that when she threw that shade about, like, listen, I was an A-list when you were an alias, girl, okay? So it's a little bit like, you don't need to come for me because, like, I've been here and I've been doing what I'm doing. So, like, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, Marlo. So I think this kind of goes back to the idea of, like, is fashion about labels or is it more about, like, is fashion in the eye of the beholder?
Well, Nene kind of said it best when she said to Tanya, being like, you know, I'm wearing low sunglasses. It's from Nene's store. And Nene's like, those are $120. Right. Not everyone would consider that low,
right?
You know?
Yeah. No, it's very true. I actually like the idea of doing that sort of, like, contrast of, like, wearing, like, high fashion with something that's a little lower fashion. There was something, like, I think Christina Aguilera described her new music once as caviar ratchet. Mm-hmm. Which I love the concept of, like, high class but, like, low class at the same time, which is just sort of, like, that interesting balance. Because I feel like everyone has almost two parts of their personality, or maybe there's, you know, everyone's a little bit more dynamic than just, like, I'm only high fashion. You know, I'm only Chanel or I'm only this. It's, like, have a little bit more fun with it.
Totally.
Meanwhile, I'm wearing, like, what is this? Actually, this is a French Connection sweater. So, hey. I think it's also a women's sweater, but that's fine. So given that Marlo wears many hats, we have a video of her talking about her many roles and responsibilities in this world. And we'll put a link to that in the description.
Should we move on to Vanderpump Rules?
Yes.
So watching this episode of Vanderpump Rules, I wanted to talk to you about James and this whole, should he be fired or not fired?
Because no, I have to stand. I have to stand in defense of the women that you've insulted.
No way, you're taking this away from me.
I'm not taking away from you. You've given it away yourself.
Lisa, please, please. Lisa, please.
It's this whole thing with, like, I just, one minute I want to punch him and the next minute I just want to give him a hug. And that was a moment where I wanted to give him a hug. I hate to see someone get that upset. And you could tell he just, like, really, especially after what he did for his brother, giving him the money, and all that money came from what he was doing at See You Next Tuesday. You know, I did feel for him in that moment. I understand Lisa was in a tough position because she really was given that ultimatum from Katie. So she had to make a call. And it was a tough call, too, because even her business partners were like, we're making 20% more than we were before with this night. Like, James, yes, he's problematic and he maybe drinks too much, but we're making a lot of money here. So we need to, like, consider that. And I think Lisa's given James a lot of chances in the past, and I think maybe it's just been one too many, and she just had to make that call of, like, I can't have you talking to women that way, and I think it kind of came down to that.
I do love in this episode how they showed the multiple layers of the situation, though, because it could be very easy to just say, James is a dick, mm-hmm. and, like, here's a montage of all the terrible things he said. But instead, they're showing you that he's paying for family dinners. Like you said, he's giving his brother money for college. He has a lot on his shoulders for such a young guy. And that kind of makes the decision of whether to fire him or not. Like, this decision is then sort of on Lisa. Do you help or hurt an entire family?
Right. I mean, I think there are larger repercussions than maybe even Lisa can kind of wrap her mind around at that time. But it also comes down to tough love. And I think that Lisa's always been such a boss, but at the same time, she's been very much like a parental figure to everyone on the show. And I think she needs James to learn. And there's no better way to get him to learn from this than to really take away what it is that, you know, is the most important to him. And it's these nights, it's being a DJ, it's, you know, working at Sir. And so I think it's tough love. And I hope that he can make a change from this and learn from this. And, you know, it's funny looking back, I didn't even realize, really looking at his social media, that he wasn't really working at Sir. But now looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, like he hasn't been there.
Right.
Welcome to the On Her Turf podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Tappan. Tune in each week to hear the incredible stories of powerhouse women who have been game changers in sports and business. Listen to the On Her Turf podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hello.
Hi, guys. It's Karen Huger from The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Oh, my favorite Bravo moment of 2018.
Wig shift. Love my wig shift. It changed the nation.
So a lot has happened this year, and we asked some of our favorite Bravo Labs some of the biggest, craziest moments of the year. What were their favorites? We talked to Eva from Real Housewives of Atlanta. We asked Kate Chastain from Below Deck. So here it is.
So my highlight from this season of anything Bravo friendly would be Real Housewives of Orange County, the OGs. And it would be Tamara hanging out with Shannon. And she was naked, and she went to run in the house, and she slipped, and she fell, and then soon after, she had a broken foot. Epic.
Southern Charm and Real Housewives of New York were on the same time, and Below Deck Med. My social life was zero spring and summer, because I was like, every night, I was like, more Bravo shows. Real Housewives is great. I love Dorinda. I love Sonia so much. I think she's a comedic genius. I think she's, like, in on the joke, and she's... because there are things she says that are so funny. So, I just love those two shows the best.
Well, the year's coming to an end, and we've seen a lot go down this year. Divorces, babies being born, the whole gamut. So we want to know, what are some of your favorite moments from Bravo this year?
What was your favorite moment from 2018?
I would have to say Giovanni.
Giovanni!
Giovanni!
Thank you, Giovanni!
Classic.
What was yours?
That Hilton head trip on Southern Charm. Woo. Can't get over it.
Drama.
Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning.
Is this girl not embarrassed? She's acting like there's nothing wrong.
Shameless.
Tweet us at Bravo TV and let us know some of your favorite moments.
# Bravo Daily Dish. So now that we've seen that season 9 trailer of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and there have been so many questions around Lisa Vanderpump in particular, I want to revisit the last interview we did with her. It was actually at the beginning of season 8 when I talked to her. And I don't know, it kind of sometimes sheds light on present day things to look back at the past. We are here with Lisa Vanderpump.
You definitely are. And the Jigster.
And Harrison, yes. Right?
Yeah, well, the Puffmeister. We call him Puffy. Because we adopted him. His name was Harrison. He didn't have a good time as Harrison, so he's reinvented himself.
Puffster.
And his name is Puffy. Yeah.
They are just waddling around like adorable little gifts from God.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, Lisa, right off the bat, what was your first thought when you found out Tom Schwartz cheated again?
Lordy. Well, yeah. I had more of an emotional investment in this situation and in this relationship because, you know, I ordained the wedding. I'd officiated the wedding. So, of course, and I love them both very much. And, you know, they were doing so well. So, of course, yes, I was upset. But you'll see me kind of, you know, take him to task.
Mm-hmm. At this point, can anyone from Vanderpump Rules do anything that would surprise you?
Well, there could always be the next season. So every season I say no, that I think we've got it all, but no. And you know what? I don't want to tell all of you like you're missing something, but this show could actually be filmed 24/7 because even when the cameras are down, I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, Lord. And then we have to deal with the aftermath. So, yeah, I mean, and case in point, you know, whatever happened with Schwartzy was probably not when we were filming. So, you know, things that just keep rolling along.
Yeah. You know, Ken's here, too, by the way. And you've talked before about how Ken in his heyday was crazier than all these guys combined.
Yes. Yeah.
What is the difference? He was able to settle down.
Oh, please. You're making him look like a saint. He's no saint. Let's be very clear about that. No, he's... does a leopard change its spots? I mean, they can try to, but there's still the odd spot underneath. I know. Mm-hmm. He's not totally, you know, the ideal man that he pretends to be. And all my friends are always like, oh, he's the perfect husband. But guess what, ladies? There isn't one.
Mm. All right, so he might jax a girl or two.
God, no.
What you're saying is there's some hope for Jax.
Well, a little. I mean, well, I didn't marry Ken until he was 36. Mm. So, you know, and I think he got most of it out of his system by then, you know, and I think that's an important part. I mean, you guys see Pandora and Jason and they got married so young, you know, but yeah, they're very happy and they love each other. I think every relationship and every man is different. I really do. And I crack that whip. Keep him on his little English toes.
So you don't have to say what it involves, but if you're thinking back on all the craziness that unfolded over this past season, what's a name of a person who shocked you the most?
Gosh. Well, my kind of mind always goes to Jax, you know, but I think with Schwartzy, I think I was just, I had high hopes, and it wasn't that it was something so devastating they couldn't come back from it, but I wasn't expecting anything at all. And okay, he talks about he made out and he forgot, but you know, and they have, as we say, they are moving forward, clearly. But I just, I had this fairy tale, idyllic kind of perception of hopeful. That's what it was when they got married in the woods. I was hopeful. So, yeah.
I think Schwartz. Everyone was. Because, yeah. And everyone that's come through has just been like, they've been so much better since they got married. There's been no issues. So... Mm. It's disappointing.
But, you know, to go from now till the rest of their lives, if people think there will be no issues and it's going to be a fairy tale, that's not reality. So, okay, best let's get it sorted out now and and hopefully he's learned his lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But let's move on to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
So everyone seems to be getting along right now.
No. I see. What you mean in the second or third episode?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, keep watching that.
Oh.
No, that never happens. I mean, it would be great if it did. But, you know, I think also the audience like a bit of conflict, and that always inevitably happens because then you have all different points of view and perception. Everybody sees a different point of view. And if you put people together for long enough and we go on trips, and the only kind of prerequisite, I think, in reality television is to speak your mind. You don't want the audience sitting there thinking, well, I know Lisa really thinks that, but she's just not saying it. I'm going to say it. So, yeah, it's always a little provocative, and it makes for, you know, interesting conversation, but sometimes it can be pretty hurtful, honestly.
Has anyone, you know, I always find it fascinating that you guys go through this whole season and then you see people, what they say in interview, which is completely unknown to you. Has anyone said anything so far that has been surprising?
Well, as I say, we're only just like, you know, just kind of started. But yeah, you know, you see things and you think, well, I didn't know they felt like that. You see, I think how I've done 300 episodes almost of reality television for you guys. And I think you can pretty much say that my interview bites echo my sentiment in scene. And some people, it doesn't. So they'll be quiet in the scene and then they cut their interview and bang, and you'll be like, Well, I didn't know they felt like that. And that's why we have the reunion.
Right? Exactly. My favorite part.
Yeah. Yes.
So in this week's episode, fans will see Dorit spotlighting as a hand model for you on the magazine shoot.
Yeah.
And she's kind of particular. Out of, like, scale from 1 to 10, of all the housewives, who's the biggest, like, pain-in-the-ass diva?
Well, I'm not going to say anything negative about any of them because it's going to ignite a firestorm. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not falling into that trap. I'm older and wiser. But I thought she was being, you know, like, when I'm the editor-in-chief of the magazine, of course I'm not, like, focusing on every single detail. I couldn't. We have a fashion editor. We have makeup artists. We have, you know. So basically, I thought it'd be fun for us to do it together. And I thought we were just going to really highlight the jewelry. So when they said, well, they wanted makeup artists, clearly it wasn't a fashion shoot because we didn't have any fashion clothes there. We were just, you know, using some of Christina's clothes that she'd kind of, I mean, even though she was a, you know, she makes her, she has her own brand, but we were just highlighting the jewelry. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think it was a big deal about hair and makeup and all that. And she made it a bigger deal than it was. And she knows I feel that way.
Mm. Mm. I feel like Dorit is now getting a little more heat again like she did last season. But you two are close.
Yeah, we are. But I think you can only protect somebody so much. I think you've got to really take responsibility for what you say in a reality show. And I'm sure if she had a couple of drinks this week and looks back at it, you know, I mean, I kind of try to diffuse it by laughing. You see that? I'm like, I'm thinking, oh, shit. You know, because there's no really appropriate way you can call Camille Grammer a see you next Tuesday and get away with it, you know, especially she was in front of her new boyfriend. And so I kind of tried to fuse it by laughing. She said, can I ask you something? I was like, no, I think you should really think carefully before you ask that question.
That
I say
amazing.
That.
Yes,
like,
yes.
You know, I was kind of like a little wary. And then I think I tried to put the napkin over her mouth, you know, like this. So how far can I go? And then, you know what? I've given you the signal that you need to pay attention. But okay, if you're gonna, you're on your own,
right? You know? How awkward was that when she said that?
Well, extremely. But I do remember when, I don't even like to mention that BG word of who used to be on the cast, but I remember when she said, you know, something like totally inappropriate, and you cut to me and I'm laughing. And I think sometimes if it's a friend that says something vastly inappropriate, I'm not going to go, are you out of your crate? I go, I think it's my English kind of in me, you know, used to those dinner parties thing. Okay, shut up now. You know, so yeah, it was that, very much that.
Yeah. Is this a foreshadowing maybe to some other clashes later this season?
Well, there were a few kind of differences, that's for sure. And I think you've probably seen that on the teaser. Mm-hmm. And Teddy kind of came in, you know, with an opinion, which is always good because often the housewives on the first season, they don't know where to go. And I think she was pretty kind of solid, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you thought about her. And I feel like...
I like Teddy. I like Teddy, but she didn't have the best relationship with all of them. But, you know, when you have something in common with somebody, and, you know, we had a love of horses, so, you know, going riding with her and stuff kind of was great, great bonding, you know.
You have so many jobs, so not only are
exactly,
you...
Exactly, so why are you making me sit here when I should be at home working?
But, you know, you take on editor-in-chief, you oversee these restaurants. What makes you keep coming back to Real Housewives?
See, I'm a wife as well, and I have to keep him awake. See, he's snoring while I'm doing it on the radio. Thank you, Ken. See, whatever I'm saying is absolutely riveting. Did you hear that snoring? Well, what makes me come... Yeah. Well, always blames
his always blame the dog.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there have been moments when I have, and Bravo know this, and I haven't been that kind of public about it, where I've actually said, I can't do this anymore. Because, but it's not because of being too busy. This year we had a long talk about that because I was very busy, and Vanderpump Rules now has a lot of episodes. And also, you know, wanting to do this new restaurant and opening the pet store. And I wanted to be the editor of a magazine because it was just such a compliment. So I don't want to turn things down. Also, philanthropic, you know, things have really, you know,
Vanderpump Dog Rescue Center. It's really been a lot of work. So I have had moments, but I've also had moments that have been emotionally driven in my decision of not wanting to come back. I mean, Andy said to me on season 5, I didn't think you'd come back. I said, Andy, I really, really did not want to, but my relationship with Kyle has pretty much remained strong. And so that's been, you know, a big part of it. And, you know, at times I was devastated season 4 and season 6. But I work with Evolution, who produced Vanderpump Rules as well. They're the production company. And I have a great relationship with them. And so if I've kind of shown any doubt, they've kind of, you know, said, come on, Lisa, you know, you've been on since the beginning. Don't walk away. Don't. And I've come back to it. And I've never regretted coming back. But even though I have had moments when I just thought I can't do it anymore. I mean, I did the first season. On season 2, I thought, well, that's it. That was nice. I'll just do one season. And they were like, what? No, don't be ridiculous. We're not going to stop now. 300 episodes later, I'm still here. I just see myself getting older and older. But also, I've had an unbelievable time with Bravo. We can't forget that. And also, how generous they've been in their kind of portrayal of some of the things that have been very close to my heart. You know, they really kind of went out on a limb and supported me, you know, fighting the Yulin Dog Meat Festival. They've always given me plenty of space to, you know, fight for LGBT rights and highlight that gay pride every year. And, you know, in lieu of, you know, the Pulse nightclub shooting, that whole episode of Vanderpump Rules was devastating, but it was that, you know, the message was, we're not going to give up, we're going to stand strong, and, you know, in solidarity. And so I've had amazing times with Bravo, and I think of them as my family. I love Andy Cohen, even though sometimes on the reunion I hate him. I'm like, why are you being such an ass to me? You know, I'm thinking, I want an earpiece straight to Andy Cohen's head when he's on the reunion. I want to be in that tower, you know, speaking into his ear. But I love him, and I just love Evolution, everybody we work with. So that makes the bond so much stronger, you know. But I mean, when I came back on season 5, my tagline was, I'm passionate about dogs, just not crazy about bitches.
Oh, that was the best.
And yes. Bravo said, you can't say that. You're never allowed to say the word bitch in the tagline. I'm like, well, I'm talking about the dogs. Like, oh, all right then.
You're like, watch me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we have to say goodbye to you, unfortunately.
No.
Yes, I know. We have to send you on to the video team.
Oh, Lordy, it's so much easier doing, like, radio and everything.
Right, you don't have to worry about what you're looking like.
I would have stayed at home in my pajamas.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So I don't know about everyone else, but I've really been missing Southern Charm. We got the best season of our lives, and now it's been pulled away from us. So I wanted to revisit an interview we did with Catherine Dennis. We talked to her. This was like at the very beginning of the season when we talked to her. And, you know, she's been through a lot. We've seen her grow up over the course of 5 seasons. And we talked about that. And she kind of gave a really good perspective on her growth and experience, and really candid about the missteps, including things that she did during season 1. Season 1, Catherine. Here's that interview. So welcome, Catherine Dennis, to the Daily Dish Podcast.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
Last night you were on Watch What Happens Live, and I want to talk about that audience split with you and Craig getting together or not.
Yes. I feel like I was expecting that, but I've never seen a solid even 50-50.
I know. I was surprised.
And we just kind of like stayed quiet the whole time. We didn't even look at each other. I think when we saw it, it was like, okay, that's awkward. But no, I don't know if that ever happened.
No, you don't think so?
In our lives, you can't really say nothing could happen, but he's just like a brother. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird. Things would have to drastically change. I mean, Charleston's so small, you can't really say never about anything because you can't really say no.
Right. But I want to talk a little bit about your dating life. You're single now.
I'm single.
Are you like on the apps? Is that how you're doing it?
The apps. Oh my God, I love that. That's a thing. I was on the Bumble app or something like that. It was more or less to like challenge my aloneness. I don't even know. You get lonely and you just kind of want to like remember there's people totally out there. And I don't know what's wrong with that. But I'm off of it now and just kind of focusing on myself, focusing on my kids, trying to be happy in my own life.
Yeah.
Because I read somewhere that that's what you do first. So.
And then Bumble.
Just being honest. Yeah. And then you move on to other people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I always have a really good time like doing it with girlfriends in the room. Like I have the most fun on like Tinder or Bumble when I'm not by myself.
Right. And you can like interact and get some feedback because sometimes when you're on there swiping, you're I feel like your standards or like what you're looking at just becomes either better or worse. But typically you're like, oh, it's not as bad as the last 50.
It's so true. Well, this guy like looks that's kind of normal.
So. Yeah, he's relatively normal compared, so it's fine.
Speaking of, what is it like, you know, you're on the show. I'm sure you get recognized. What is it dating like being on Southern Charm?
It has its challenges because I mean, I've had the good, the bad, the ugly out there. And so people, I think, maybe see me as like a lot of baggage or something, which I don't really care about. So I don't know. It does polarize people, I guess. But the right person out there won't care, right?
Yeah, no, of course not.
Who knows?
We asked this yesterday. Hannah from Below Deck was in the office and we were like, what's the weirdest thing someone has like reached out to you about on like Instagram DM'd you? Because I can only imagine the kind of messages you guys get. And she was like, someone had a foot fetish and like wanted me to send them pictures of my feet.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever gotten anything like that.
Okay.
But yeah, no, never any foot fetishes. Nothing. No, okay. It's kind of wild. I mean, the most interesting things I get are just people reaching out and wanting, you know, real feedback, real advice. And I think that's kind of cool with reality TV to like really have a positive influence as opposed to just being crazy all the time. But that was me once, so I guess I can't judge it.
What is like the best advice you think you've gotten?
Ooh, best advice. Let the experience be like your own and don't mix people's judgments with your own
understanding,
I guess. I don't know. Just not give a shit, basically, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, I love it. It kind of, I, watching this season, have just been personally so impressed and kind of like in awe of your restraint and your ability to kind of do that, kind of control yourself and don't let others. How do you find the strength to do that? Because honestly, I don't think I could.
The strength to resist. Once you've been through so much in front of other people or just in general, I mean, you learn when other people, I guess, respond to you or react to you, you're just like, oh, I was there once. No thanks, not going back. I mean, I have two little ones I just run around with, act silly with, and yeah, you stay out of the mess. You realize what's important. Mm-hmm. And you stay busy. I don't know, you liberate yourself from like feeling challenged by people you know are not very challenging. Specifically, I can't name them.
Okay, I think I'm going to put it together.
So, yeah, you can probably guess.
Yeah, I've just, like I said, it's like I've always loved you on the show, loved watching you, and I just am so impressed, especially.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, no, seriously, I'm always like, what the heck? Oh my God, how is she doing this?
Right.
I would lose my mind.
In season one, Catherine, you would never expect me to be here, but crazy Catherine, I think, maybe gone for a little while. She's going to be back at some point in the season for a little bit. Just visiting.
I love your, like, acceptance of even calling yourself Crazy Catherine. Like, that's so funny.
Well, I mean, you got to make fun of yourself. Life doesn't have to be so serious all the time. That was one thing I learned after going through all that crap with people on the show is, like, don't be so hard on yourself. Don't really attach yourself to feelings. Things are always changing. Yeah. Have fun with life a little bit more.
Yeah. I just watched the first part of the Hilton Head episode.
Oh, God.
And I'm floored, like totally shocked by what happened.
I mean, that's another level of crazy. And she's committed to it, you know? I mean, I guess I can respect that in no way possible. But, yeah, I almost don't know what to say about it.
Right. Going into this season and watching it, I think you always, from what I gathered, had a little sense of trepidation with Ashley.
watching it now, are you seeing anything you didn't know at the time? Has anything been surprising?
Well, when I first met her, she was super friendly and charming to my face. And then behind closed doors, there were just subtle gestures, like the gold digger, like sign she took to the bachelorette party. I was like, okay, she seems a little less dumb, shall I say dumb, than I thought, you know? So, yeah, it was interesting to watch her game kind of unfold.
Right. Not so innocent.
Not so innocent. Not so dumb. I don't know. Calculated, but in a very transparent way. It's kind of contradictory and embarrassing for her, but it's fine.
You said in one episode that you feel bad for her. Do you still feel that way, or is that...
Well, I mean, I feel like... I mean, I'm 26 years old, and I've kind of gotten to a place where I'm not as naive as I was when I was younger, or still young, whatever. And she's, I feel like she's just made a lot of drastic decisions for something that's not going to be probably consistent. And it's like, why, how are you, how did you get here? I mean, you're kind of a little bit older than me. I'm not going to, I don't know. It's odd to look at someone older than you, I guess, and realize like how unevolved they are. I don't want to be an asshole, but like, really, what else do you say?
I mean, Craig was in here yesterday and he was just like, I mean, after she did that, we were just like all done.
Right, because it wasn't even just being crazy and saying, oh my God, it was a bad night. She got a little drunk and said some mean stuff. It was like really emotional. Like, I don't even understand it. And that's weird for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure. We saw in a preview for the next few episodes, Shep at one point also says like,
I hate her.
I don't think I've ever heard Shep really say that about anyone. So when he came up and was like, he didn't say anything, it was silence. And he sat down, looked into like the abyss and said, I f***ing hate her.
I wish you all could see Catherine right now.
It was like really poetic in a sense. But when he said that, I was like, wow, it's really that simple. Like, we all just don't know what happened. I don't know. It was very weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he put it perfectly, like, f***ing hate her. Got it?
So I feel like everyone, most of the cast is very, like, supportive of you through all of this.
They're super supportive. I mean, I think Hilton Head especially brought us kind of closer together. In a sense, they became more protective over me, or whatever you want to call it, especially in contrast to, like, how crazy she is. And they're like, oh, well, Catherine was never that bad, I guess. You know, I'm going to have her back. I don't know. And also, I feel like everyone sees me as more of a little sister now, perhaps.
Well, that's good.
It's good, I guess, yeah.
I want to talk about a little bit about other people's dating lives, because that's been at the forefront of this season. What is your take on Austin kind of being in between Chelsea and Victoria?
I mean, it was super obvious when he went on that date with Victoria that it was like a product of being rejected by Chelsea. So I don't even know how serious he takes dating in general. You know, he's a flip-flopper. And I don't know. I think Chelsea's over it, but it's kind of funny to watch because he has no idea. He can't pick up on that social cue.
Yeah.
That was mean of me, but I don't know what else to say. Yeah?
Well, I thought it was, I get what Chelsea's saying, is that she wanted him to like man up and like stick up for himself, right, to Shep, and him not getting that, I thought was interesting.
Yeah. She has a very strong presence and she knows herself very well. And I think that when she sees Austin, she sees someone that's just not really at that point. She's attracted to him in every other way, though. But the main thing I guess you have to have in common with someone is knowing yourself and being sure of yourself. And it's just really not there. Yeah.
Sounds like Austin maybe needs to be alone for a while.
I think the guys need to be alone for a while. Like Shep, Craig. Yeah, Shep and Craig really mainly. And just realize what it's like to not have all these people in front of you at your, I guess, beck and call. Like, all these girls, like, they're obsessed with them. When you go out with them, it's insane the amount of girls that come up to them and are like, oh, my God, Craig, you're so hot, Shep. It's just, that's got to feed their ego so much that they just like don't even realize.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah. But I think being alone helped them like kind of humble themselves, maybe. A real shot at love. I don't know.
Yeah. I want everyone to find love. We've been talking to a bunch of other Bravo celebrities about group chats that they're in with other Bravo celebrities or other people from your cast. Are you in any?
I did get one invitation to one when one of the episodes aired, and I don't know, there was some silly comment about it, and I was like, oh my God, I'm in a group chat. I'm like, I officially made it back in the group. But it's always just like silly random crap you send. Yeah, and no one really responds, but they send back something totally unrelated, like exchanging gifts, typically. Yes.
Okay, yeah. So just like everybody else, gifting every...
Pretty much. Like, no communication skills, just like weird thoughts.
Do they send gifts of Southern Charm?
If there's some made, yeah, for sure. Like, Ashley doing the hair flip thing.
Yes.
That became one, and it was just so funny that we could all just kind of... behind closed doors laugh about it because it was so serious at the time. It was crazy. Yeah,
right. I'm sure.
But that's the kind of stuff, or just random ones that make fun of each other. And how can you not?
Who's in the group chat?
I mean, pretty much everyone. Naomi, me, I guess we were added recently. And the main people in our kind of our group, we stay very close-knit. And once you're in, you're in. But if you're out, dude, you're out. It's crazy. It's like high school.
Is anybody out?
Stay tuned.
Oh, I can't wait. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here. This was great.
Okay, should we do Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose of the week?
Well, my rose is a little bit more complex than that. And my rose is ending this year, co-hosting the podcast with you. It's been such a blast. I've had such a good time hearing from the fans, being able to just sit here and talk and have so much fun with you every week. So you're my rose.
Oh my God, now I feel bad. I chose a show moment.
That's totally fine.
That's so nice. Okay, well, besides the obvious of just, you know, you, my rose was again shouting out the amazing editing this season on Vanderpump Rules, Stassi's life as a video game. Dear God, I would play the shit out of that.
Absolutely. That was so hysterical. The editing this season is honestly on point, and I cannot wait to see what else they have in store for us.
What is your thorn?
So my thorn is, this is from Real Housewives of New Jersey, and it's Margaret and Danielle's like very unhealthy friendship. Like they have these incredible extremes where one minute they are getting along super well and, you know, Margaret is Danielle's maid of honor. And the next minute, it's like this explosion. And just seeing how upset Margaret gets and how mean Danielle can be, it's just like we've talked in the past about like with Tamara and Shannon on OC. And just like when these friendships go off balance, it just feels very hard to watch because you know that there's just such inner turmoil that's going on between them.
Right. It's like when you look at a toxic romantic relationship and you say, that person should get out of that. Like, right. This is not doing them any favors. Yeah. It's kind of like that.
Yeah. So I hope we can see that turnaround this season. What about you? What's your thorn?
My thorn was sort of the secondhand embarrassment when James was talking about the Gotti film and how poorly it did on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't know who the f*** Lala thinks she is. Coming into show and disrespecting Raquel just after her premiere, produced by Fat Man, by the way, and also got a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a very exclusive list, the movies that have gotten a 0% on Rotten Tomato. Dark Tide, Max Steel. Do you remember how Max Steel was? Because I do. Police Academy 4, Cabin Fever, The Nutcracker in 3D. And there's Gotti right on the bottom, 2018, at the bottom of the list. You know, I mean, it's really harder to get a 0%, I think, than 100%.
Not every movie's going to be a hit.
But 0%?
I know. But I have to say, it made me kind of want to watch it. Like, how bad is it?
I know. I actually didn't remember hearing about it at all. And then I Googled it after the episode. And the, like, cover art for it alone is just like, I think I need to see this.
But also, John Travolta has a history with our Bravo celebrities in bad movies or movies that didn't come to fruition. Wasn't he at one point attached to the film Sonia produced and that ended up getting her in a lot of lawsuit issues?
Oh my God, you're right. Is he like the cursed individual of the Bravo celebrity fan base or something?
So we want to know what your rose and thorn of the week was. Tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish or reach out. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
And I'm at Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And speaking of social, I felt like now was a really good time to recognize all of the listeners who have helped build this podcast and make it something that we're able to do every week. You guys are amazing. In particular, we wanted to shout out Mrs. Muggleborn, Katie Connolly, H. James, Chelsea Shirk Weber, and Siobhan Quintero.
And also want to give a shout out to Jen with one N, Crystal Light Twin, Betch Next Door, Mrs. Dells, City Minis, Heather Kimiek, I might have mispronounced that, but sorry about that, and Lauren Badassa.
Literally get so excited every time you guys tweet us, Instagram us. Eric and I just have a ball reading them and responding. So we love you.
Thank you guys for everything. We're always texting each other after we get your messages, being like, did you see this one? Check this out. And you guys are great about raising really good points that we might not think about. You're really great about contributing more ideas, and we just very much appreciate it.
And of course, couldn't do this podcast without our team here. Megan Fierro, who edits us and makes us sound amazing. Our producer, Emily Exton. And, you know, I want to give a special shout out to our alums. Rachel, Grace, Nicole. You guys all helped contribute to this amazing year. But I think the biggest thanks of all goes to our Bravo Lebs.
Thank you guys so much for providing endless entertainment, lots of laughs, and a few tears.
Happy New Year, y'all.
Happy New Year.
See you in 2019.
And I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me.